indispensable. And they know that we don't have $250 million earmarked to rub them out, and that we haven't had her.
Listen to what he said. We don't have $250 million earmarked for. And what a nice way to cover it.
Did he just say to rub
them
out? Yeah.
To rub them out.
To rub them out.
Back it just a tad and we'll re-listen.
Just pause it.
The additions that they're almost word for word the same thing, and that it's really indefensible. And they know that we don't have $250 million earmarked to rub them out, and that we haven't had her under constant surveillance, and we didn't try to kill her, and all of these other absurdities, and that Prince Charles doesn't sit on my board of directors, and what was it? They appear to be very anti-Semitic. They said that we had a Jew named Cohen on our board. And of course,
we good old Semites, are we going to put up with that?
Not against ourselves.
And watch him put his feet into it now. He's going to explain that he wouldn't mind having, you know, go on.
I would have nothing against personally having any person from any background or any religious ethnic group sit on my board as long as they were in tune with the purposes of the university, which is to help humanity bring the message that the Ruffles gave of love and balance. It just so happens that never has there been a Jew named Cohen on the board of the university, and no members of the board at this moment come out of the Jewish background.
Well, you think if they were...
Other than British Israelis, British Jews, coming out of that line of hierarchy, as Nora has outlined it for you in research, I doubt there would be anyone with such a common name as Cohen. Because when you get into the elite circles, they intermarry into these elitist circles. And you're not going to have those kinds of names attached. Go on. Oh yeah, he's. But you have to understand something about Timothy Binder. He is suckered in also.
He's got a very big ego, I'll tell you that. When I first met him, read them.
And he's an acupuncturist. He is a holistic healer. He is, you know, I mean, it's.
God speaking, because I know that Doris has said she speaks for Hatam and Atom, and that is God. And you think they'd know the truth. This is Bo Grice. We'll be coming back with Dr. Tim Binder, but after news and...
Well, it's commercial.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, here it comes.
Okay.
The reason is because apparently millions of dollars have flowed to an entity represented by Doris and E.J. Ecker of Tehachapi, California. And Doris and E.J. are claiming in public documents that they are penniless, that they've been thrown out of their house.
Now, as he goes on and he speaks of ones who have, he's missed the most precious ones. But he really betrays someone like Sherry. And in written documents that will go out, I want her name written through, along with several others. He's going to name Bushnell's. These are people who came in, but I want to remind you of something. They have their money today in security because of E.J. Ecker. They started putting money in with George Green. And don't forget it for one moment.
Either talk louder or use the mic. I can't hear you.
If you back the tape up just a hair, you'll hear him say that millions of dollars have flowed to an entity. So he's implying that the money has gone directly to him, Tom.
Yes.
And then he moves on from there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
An entity represented by Doris and E.J. Ecker of Tehachapi, California. And Doris and E.J. are claiming in public documents that they are penniless, that they've been thrown out of their house, that Army units, that police, that SWAT, that federal people, that even Dr. Tim Binder of the University of Science and Philosophy of Waynesboro, Virginia, are trying to kill them. And they seem that the reason that they're able to make these...
How in the world could you ever mix that jumble into any semblance of truth? I thought it was the Phoenix Institute under attack, number one. Number two, Timothy Binder is trying to kill them. At the least, it's loose, isn't it? I think maybe that's why there have been so few calls to this grandmother. Go on.
He's in public statements, public documents. They have a newspaper called Contact. It's because apparently millions of dollars have flowed their way, and apparently millions more may flow their way. And with the economy going the way it is, I think you should know the truth. And again, this program is dedicated to the truth.
How many millions have flown? Rick, you and what have you done with it?
Well, that new Ferrari and the new house. Yeah. You have something to do with it.
And moreover, let us look at the institute. Why is there an institute, and why would anybody put their money into it? It is not a metals dealer. It is not a bank, as ones wish to use it now. We made statement after statement after statement. This is not to buy metals. It is to be able to have funding for things like the paper and Mr. Green to be able to do publishing so that there can be a spelt field out there so that you ones may have something when everybody gets hungry, when the government gets through with you. Now, even Mr. Grice would agree it's an unusual situation, but Mr. Grice gives survival programs. Put your stores aside, get your guns. What are you going to put aside? In the spike training, you all have heard essentially what it is. There have been pro and cons written about it. I even urged ones who could to go. Back to the contact, there have been two or three blistering, discounting letters about spike, where they would guarantee you that a little old woman, even older than Dorma and uglier, could, basically using a wooden toy knife, learn to defend herself against the most massive attacker. And you got to keep the wooden knife. I think maybe you had to pay for it. I'm not sure what we have. Those letters, if Mr. Grice would like us to share with him the documentation of what I now speak of. In tape two, you will find someone calling in about a Luger 22 caliber gun. And Mr. Grice certainly knows all about that. He knows all about every kind of weapon there is, my friends. And you will remember at the rally, a knife was presented. This was nothing short. There was no other use for the knife that was so lovingly polished and handmade and was presented in Tehachapi to this man on the podium. That is a killing knife. It is a special forces weapon for killing. All of the materials that you can get, you see, Spike has survival equipment. I don't care where you get your survival equipment, and if you want to get it from Spike, go ahead. But this person pointed out that, for instance, the combination flashlight, radio, etc., you could go down to Kmart and pick up for half or less the price. And it seemed somehow wrong to him. That is not my business. But I'm going to tell you now what is my business. Gary Anderson, who goes by Gary Ray, Gary Wayne, you name it, he goes by. Rarely even Gary Anderson, except that he got involved in this and it wasn't going to work out well to change your name. And you're going to find one of the biggest flubs of the century made on tape too. Mr. Greitz connects him to the Constitutional Law Center. Remember, Gary Anderson set up in the same building, basically in the same suite of offices where the Constitutional Law Center Incorporated operated. And the Constitutional Center, T-R-E, spelling trust, operated. And he says that, Gary Anderson says that while he was, you know, up there with that Constitutional Law Center, $40,000 a month flowed through there. A week. Thank you. That, thank you.
Where did that go?
Right. Now, knowing and having evidence that one check, forgive me an amount, because it was down to cents.
About $2,500, wasn't it?
But that's not enough. It was like 25 or 27,052 or some specific number was sent in by Ruby Pimentel, who now has been absolutely. Ask her, George says. She's been to University of Science and Philosophy, and she knows now all about those Eckers. Ruby Pimentel sent this check to George Green. George Green sent it back to her because it was not properly filled in the amount, according to both of them. She now sent it back to George Green. George Green sent it over to the Constitutional Law Center, he said. But now they began to fall apart. On the back, it was endorsed, "We the People," and scribbled in there, Gary Anderson's writing. This was then sent to a bank in Colorado. When this was discovered by Mr. Dixon, it took a while because Ruby wanted to know if her money had been received at the Constitutional Law Center. No. So in tracing it down, this is what was found. It was endorsed, deposited into Mr. Anderson's account in that bank. Mr. Dixon called the bank and talked to the honcho there. He seemed to have a pretty good relationship with him, which does not bode well for Mr. Dixon. But that is not our issue here. When this gentleman said, "I will look into it," because by now there is a check draft back in Mr. Dixon's hands that is endorsed and can be followed. When Mr. Dixon checked the next day to see what this manager had found, he said, well, I'll tell you one thing, it is really interesting, and I can't tell you a thing, because Mr. Anderson called and threatens us with a massive suit if I divulge any information from his account. But number two, a order came to wire George Green a check in the a draft, a cashier's check, a whatever, certified, whatever you call this kind of a transaction. In exactly, let us say it was 2752, as an example. Isn't it strange that exactly 2752 was made in that cashier's check from the bank and wired to Mr. Green, who stuck it in an envelope and sent it to Ruby Pimentel? That is documented. In trying to follow up, it got worse. The bank finally said, well, Mr. Dixon, I'll tell you one thing about it. The problem of a lawsuit for us divulging information would be so expensive that it would be easier to pay you that amount. And the manager was so upset that he said he would even arrange to do it personally. Now, this can be clarified, verified in this room without Gene Dixon. Mitch talked to the man, and he did not realize that he had offered to pay for it personally. And, of course, when other parties got involved in the conversations and communications, he backed off and said he had talked to his board and his directors and all this stuff. Now, how much do you think was sidetracked? $40,000 a week? I doubt it. But they keep flashing around very large numbers, don't they? And it wasn't enough, see, we the people. Or what was the other one that they borrowed the $90,000 from the Institute to set up a common law service center? That's Gary Anderson. And Wayne John. And Wayne John even borrowed more. And both have not repaid a cent of it, and both still have equipment. That belongs to the Phoenix Institute, just as did the computer setup that Mr. Green gave away. Now, Mr. Green was a member of the board of directors and had cash, check cashing rights at the local bank. He was also a vice president because he didn't want his name on there as an officer. So, did he give that equipment away to John Coleman as a director of the Phoenix Institute without asking anybody? The same way he received the gold coins from Dave Overton without mentioning it to anybody? Every cent that was coming into the Institute was certainly counseled with him. He was the one making the contacts and telling the people how to handle it. And the only problem there has been under any circumstances are with the ones that George Green handled personally and then wanted them to take their money out to pull down the Institute. Because he knew the rest of it had been handled impeccably. How much do you suppose? Same address? Can you believe that Sylvia in that office working with Gene Dixon even picked up the mail at the postal box service because they would not allow Gary Anderson in the building. That means, my friends, that he was already filching mail. So Sylvia would go and pick up the mail and sort it. Circumstantial evidence, my friends, my case rests. I think even Jerry Spence could handle this one, but Jerry Spence won't handle this one. You know why? Because he's a buddy-buddy with Bo Grice or Mr. Weaver. And this is the way Bo Grice feels about the property. They think the Phoenix Church of Christ is a branch of the Phoenix Liberator, or, well, it's like Phoenix Ecker Church of Christ. How does that make all of you feel who gave so that property could be saved through that entity that is housed in Phoenix, Arizona? That became a fluke that they are using as proof. Well, they're going to enjoy it more when they come to find out that the Monsignor from that Orthodox, and it's a Russian Eastern Orthodox branch of the Constantinople, I believe, or Constantine original church of Catholicism. Antioch, thank you. And they are going to put in a very large center, not center like a shopping center, but a church and a retreat. And the land is already basically in escrow. There will be an elderly center and other things that would go with a church complex. But it will not even be in the town as such. This has been the most unbelievable thing that these people have encountered, to find that actually it's like it's being reported from here. Let's go on.
God's ninth commandment to us was, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Ninth commandment.
It's time that we tell the truth. And I'm always going to give you names and telephone numbers, ways that you can check yourself and find out what the truth is, because, boy, is that a pearl of great price.
Stop
and is it ever hard to...
The blasphemy. Anyone know what the first commandment is? This man is so narrow that he doesn't even know what Lord God means. Oh, he will preach to you about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill is a big one. Real big one. And by his own words, he still teaches people how to kill. I forgot the punchline with Gary Anderson. I didn't get on that sidetrack for no reason. I had said that he uses Gary Anderson, which is nothing but a crook. That's the nicest word I can find. I know that probably Commander Grice could not use that term. Gary sells trusts. And it has not been 3 weeks since an advertisement from Gary Anderson was presented to us with his trust, with his whole thing, and Bo Greitz on his ad. Ah, but to Rick, Mr. Greitz says, I don't use Gary Anderson for my trust. The only thing I use Gary Anderson for is to schedule and set up the spike training session. How in the deuce could you be more involved? But not to worry. I do the trust through Jack McLam. Jack McLam, head retired police officer? Oh, I see. It must be that Jack McLam does it through Gary Anderson. Maybe.
Commander?
Yes.
Understand from Camp Baldwin, Nash, Idaho, that Bo Greitz, Jack McLam are doing a little property scam where they're getting fine up 80 acres and then selling it off to these patriots that they can get to move up there. Up in the panhandle.
You heard it there first. Yes, sir. Yes.
To achieve, it seems like, even more harder so in the 90s. Let me give you a couple of interesting things. We'll go right on with Dr. Finder. Now, Tom said here, I think it was last year, that this is Atom speaking, Atom God, who is Doris Decker, said everybody that must go out.
Thank you. Everybody got it. Go on.
He just kind of smears it back and
forth. And buy these real thick welding goggles because the earth is going to go through a photon belt and there's going to be exceeding blindness. Everyone on earth will be blinded. I think maybe the Eckert must have gotten some.
He goes into this one again, and I'm going to read you. This is one of the nicest letters that. This is a good example. I think I'll read it all to you because this person heard him and has responded to him. And this person is from Loveland, Colorado. To Bo Greitz, I'm writing regarding your radio show and have a few things to say if you don't mind. First of all, my husband is a Vietnam vet and we supported you during your presidential campaign. I would like to say that if your listening audience would like to really hear the truth, to call 0202. And just as an aside, we found out about you and your campaign through Hatton because he pushed you in the Liberator, the name of the paper at that time, now called The Contact. And in fact, we bought your books through George Green's America West Publications, which, by the way, has never paid Doris one dime from publishing her material. Also, I'd like to know, in your quest for truthfulness, at least he does it better than George Green. When you speak of being unable to repeat words, George Green referred to them as the truth fuck Eckers. You haven't told the people that the Eckers gave you $15,000 for your campaign and that you took it. And then you people raised another $4,000 minimum. That makes up the $19,000. This is a misnomer. EJ counseled and took it out, and I will give you the history of that. Bo Greitz and his people were sitting with George Green. They were trying to get a 900 answering system into Bo Greitz's place for this campaign. This was early on. He had not announced. George Green comes over and he wants to do this. What do we think? Well, we didn't think too much about it, but gosh, and George says, oh, but, you know, and gets on the phone and they're all these inner calls being made back and forth to decide, well, you know, to take this out of the Institute for this purpose isn't exactly, but we guess for the next president or, you know, whatever. And, oh, but not to worry. You don't understand. The 900 number will go in, and within 10 days to 2 weeks, $15,000 would be paid back. They had other money coming, number one, and number two, the 900 number would back that up. And EJ said, well, all right, I can write the check. And George wanted to be the one passing out the money so bad that he picked up the check so he could be the one to hand it over. So that's where the $15,000 came from, you and George Green to Bo Grice. And then came the rally. This was the best, most well-done rally that Bo Grice had during the campaign in this town. You decorated, and it was wonderful. And you had music. And it gave you an opportunity in almost no time at all to put together a wonderful day. Wonderful day. But those funds should have come from campaign money, of which now the public is saying Bo Grice has stolen hundreds of thousands of dollars. He diverted it to his own use. I'm not even going to comment on that. It's expensive to campaign. And the very least that anyone from this place would want to do would be to charge him. We're trying to regain our Constitution, and the man talked a good line, didn't he? And he could have done it. Had he not lost it. $19,000 is minimal. You were curiously silent about the Eckers or Hatton until Hatton started supporting Perot in the paper because he had a better chance of winning. Then you started coming down on Doris and Hatton. Tell the truth, Mr. Grice. Do you even know the definition? You are not telling the truth to the people. Mr. Binder is not telling the truth, and George Green definitely is not telling the truth. Doris Ecker and E.J. Ecker have never published any books. George Green published them. There are more than 80 journals now that have been published regarding the truths of the past and of the future. Have you read any of them? All the way through? Did you ever stop to wonder how one person could write so much material on so many varied subjects from the past to the present to the future without some help from God? And as far as the Eckers taking money from people, they never were, and not now, are shareholders in any corporation, including America West Publishers, or anything that George Green was connected with. It might behoove you, if indeed you desire the truth, to look into George Green and his taking of people's money. I have been receiving this material since its inception, and not once have I ever been asked for any money in any form, either a donation or whatever, from the Eckers or anyone close to them. Never once did I receive any information that they charged $400 for a session with Hatton, or that Hatton charged $1,200 to be beamed aboard his ship through Mount Shasta. That is a complete and total lie. I know people who have gone to Tehachapi to some of the meetings held there, and they certainly did not pay anything, much less what you lie about over the air. However, I did receive a written request from George Green, one that he sent to many people requesting donations. You also do not know what you're talking about regarding the photon belt, and this is why I interrupted. This is not a new idea, and in fact, it didn't even come from Hatton.